right, guys, you can go ahead. I'm going to start us off in a prayer so everyone could bow their heads. Thanks. Dear God, Lord, thank you so much for letting us get here tonight as women, God, to be able to open up your word, God. And it's just something special about women coming together, and we're able to just share our hearts, God. I pray for this lesson, for this D group, God, and I just pray that through these times we can get closer to one another, God. And I just pray that your words speak through me, God, and that you just remove me and just let your word be glorified, God. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so as you guys know, we're going through the book of Deuteronomy, and so the topic for this week is leadership. So, we'll go ahead and start with Deuteronomy. If everyone can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17, and we're going to read verses 14 through 20. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and start. Deuteronomy chapter 17, starting in verse 14. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, and you have taken possession of it and have settled in it, and you say, "Let us set a king over us like all the other nations around us," be sure to appoint over you a king the Lord your God chooses. He must be from among your own brother. Do not place a foreigner over you, one who is not a brother Israelite. The king, moreover, must not acquire a great number of horses for himself or make people return to Egypt to get more of them. For the Lord has told you, you are not to go back to that way again. He must not take many wives or his heart will be led astray. He must not accumulate large amounts of silver or gold. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law. Then, taken from the priests, who are Levites, it is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord, his God, and follow carefully all of the words in the law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers or turn from the law to the right or to the left. Then he and his descendants will reign for a long time over the kingdom of Israel. So, Deuteronomy, it's a book filled with leadership. And we can learn about a lot of what God expects from leaders and what he does not expect from leaders in the book of Deuteronomy. It starts with Moses, it goes to Aaron, and it talks about the future expectations for the kings. In this passage that we just read, it's a contrast that God makes with leaders that he will appoint and leaders of the surrounding nations. And why does he have to make that distinction between leaders of the surrounding nations and leaders that he appoints? And I think it's so easy for us to get caught up in what the world defines as a leader. God is trying to get us to focus on the heart of what a leader should look like. He says, appoint over you someone who is your own brother. He is not to acquire a great number of horses, silver or gold, or go back to Egypt. And he is not to have many wives. These things were completely normal for the kings of the surrounding nations, but why not for God's people? And I think it's because he didn't want our hearts to be led astray. And the more that we have, the less that we depend on God. He wants a people that are set apart and holy for him. And so my first point is, our ways are not his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. Today, what do we think about when we hear the term leader? We see from this passage that there's a contrast between leadership in the world and leadership that God desires. There's a book that I've been reading, and it's called Spiritual Leadership, and it contrasts natural leader abilities with spiritual leadership qualities. And some of the things that it says is, natural leaders are self-confident, while spiritual leaders are confident in God. Natural leaders know men, while spiritual leaders know God. The natural leader make their own decisions, while the spiritual leader seeks God's will. Natural leaders are ambitious, and they create methods, while spiritual leaders are humble, and they follow God's example. The natural leader enjoys command, seeks personal reward and is independent, while the spiritual leader delights in obedience in God, loves God and others, and depends on God. Which list do you associate leadership with? And for example, when I was in nursing school, we had this clinical instructor. It was my first time ever being on nursing unit floor trying to be a nurse. And my instructor, her name was Leonita Cutright, and she was this PhD student. She was supervisor on her nursing unit, and I just thought I would learn so much from her. In the world's eyes, she was very confident, very educated, very smart, and so she had all the qualities I thought would be great for me to learn from her. But what she would do, they have these things called cows. They're computers on wheels, and she would come down the nursing halls with her cow and come to you. And she would be like, okay, it's time to give this medication. What's it for? What it's used for? What's the indication? And she would snap until you, like, got all of it out. And it would just make you so nervous. But I actually did not learn much from her. She was very direct, and she was very intelligent herself. But, you know, I saw her as this great leader, but she was not able to teach or pass on what she knew. And then another example is Thelma. Thelma is someone that has made such an impression on me. She, when I became a Christian, she was about 80 years old. She was poor. She had a learning disability, but she had this great heart to serve. And so Thelma, she would, about four times a year, would get these brown paper bags and fill them with fruit and candy and give it to all the campus students. And everyone felt like Thelma was like their own grandmother. She was just so sweet. And Thelma, she died last year, and people from all over the state came to her funeral and was so impacted by her just because of her love and generosity. Thelma, her daughter, and her two of her daughters and her son-in-law became disciples because of her example on serving. And so, you know, one of these women in the world's eyes looked like they would be this great leader that could pass on so much knowledge but wasn't able to, while Thelma, in the eyes of the world, looks like she wouldn't be very much, but she's left such an impact and impression in people's hearts. You know, we're drawn to natural leaders. Most of us want to possess their qualities, and we think of leadership in the terms that the world defines as a leader. I know I can do that all the time, and I can have a worldly view of what leadership is, try to fit what the world portrays a leader to be. The world conditions us to think that a leader is self-confident, a decision-maker, ambitious, independent, that they're put together and professional. And when professional, then that is what we should strive to be if we want to be a leader. But I can get so caught up in the image of what it should look like to be a leader that I get discouraged when I don't measure up. And this is dangerous because it puts the focus on us when we do that. Instead of looking at the world and society, and what they say a leader is, what does God think a leader should be? That's what I would all like us to look at. If we can flip to 1 Samuel 16. And we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And it says, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you out to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king.' But Samuel said, 'How can I go? Saul will hear about it and kill me.' The Lord said, 'Take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to your sacrifice, and I will show you what you are to do. You are to anoint for me the one I indicate.' Samuel did what the Lord said, and he arrived at Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled when they met him, and they asked, 'Do you come in peace?' Samuel replied, 'Yes, in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me.' Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely this is the one the Lord anoints is standing right here before me." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Just like Samuel, we can get focused on the world's views of leadership and try to place it in the church. God cares about the heart that his leaders have. Qualities of leadership can be taught, but the right heart is given by God. It is developed through quiet times, through persevering with God through trials, from being discipled, from being humbled and submissive. And as women, especially, not to lead and make decisions by our emotions, but by God's word. We don't have to flip there, but I'll read Isaiah 66, verse 1 through 2. It says, "This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is at my footstool. Where is the house that you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. These are the ones I look at with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit, who tremble at my word." Do we tremble at God's word and teach others to do the same? Because that's a quality of leadership. And even going back, God looking at the heart, that's my second point, is the heart of a leader. In Deuteronomy, the text that we read initially, verse 18 says that the king should write for himself a copy of the law. The word of God should be with him, and he should read it all the days of his life. So leaders, we should be having our quiet times. A spiritual leader should love the word of God, not only knowing the word, but putting it into practice. Mm-hmm. Not thinking they are better than others by directing them to God's words, but applying it to their own lives. We have to start with ourselves. It's not about knowing the right things to say or knowing the right thing to do to be a leader, but it's about taking the word of God and producing fruit with it in our own lives. When is the last time that we had fruit produced because of God's word? As Christians, do our quiet times produce fruit in our lives? And if you're studying the Bible, do your studies convict you to change your life? When we think of being a leader in God's kingdom, we should understand that it is a calling to become a servant. In the King James Bible, the term leader is only used 6 times in the whole Bible. Much more frequently, the role is called servant. And the term servant speaks of low prestige, low respect, and low honor. But when Jesus used the terms, it is a synonym for greatness. Take, for example, if you guys flip with me to Matthew 20. Sorry, lots of flipping tonight. Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28, and it says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with their sons, kneeling down, and asked a favor of him. 'What is it that you want?' he asked. She said, 'Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom.' 'Don't you know what you are asking?' Jesus said to them. 'Can you drink the cup that I am going to drink?' 'We can,' they answered. Jesus said to them, 'You will indeed drink from my cup, but to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to my Father, whom they have been prepared for by my Father.' When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, 'You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must first be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." when we're looking around to identify who are the leaders among us, it should be those who are taking time out to serve, setting up chairs, washing up dishes, people who speak to new people when they come to the fellowship and make them feel at home. They are the ones who call and check on people when they're missing and even send them sermon notes when they aren't in church. They are fellowshipping with people they do not know. They have a heart to take care of God's flock. They have a heart for people, and they serve others because of their love for God. They aren't missing meetings of the body. They are seeking advice from not just certain people, and they're not defensive with being discipled. They're going to people's houses and really showing God's love. And it's really encouraging because to become a spiritual leader, it doesn't mean we have to have a particular skill set. Any one of us in this room can be a leader. But it's all about our heart for God and for people and our willingness to serve. To be a leader in God's church, that's all it is. It's serving. Are you willing to humble yourself? Am I willing to humble myself? Because the church needs leaders. I didn't know this when we first came, but there's a great opportunity with the Rollo thing they were talking about. What was that? It was something funny.
The announcements?
Yeah, in the announcements. There's a whole list.
Doodle.
Doodle. Rollo doodle. Same thing. Which we totally didn't even know. Or at least I didn't. I don't know if Brian did, but totally didn't even know that was coming out tonight. So there's great, lots of opportunities to serve. You know, it's not about knowing what to do, but if you have a heart to serve, you'll be willing to learn. Don't wait to be asked. Just start looking for needs. And so a question I have is, you know, do you view yourself as a servant? And if you view yourself as a servant, then you are a leader. Firstly, with my relationship with God, I've been convicted by this, and I'm trying to, even with the women that I study, reach out more and hang out with them, call them, go to their house, being hospitable in my home, following up, you know, with people, seeing how their quiet times are going. So ask me from time to time, how am I growing and changing in this area? But I have been convicted at how much Jesus served the lost and how that has changed my heart to want to do it more and more. So in closing, when God selects leaders, he ignored the popular belief of what type of person should fit the role. Do you believe that God can use every woman here in this room? Because I do. Or do we make excuses why we think we can't serve? Abraham was old. Jacob was insecure. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Samson was codependent. Rahab was immoral. David had an affair and had all kinds of family problems. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Jonah was reluctant. Naomi was a widow. John the Baptist was eccentric. Peter was impulsive and hot-tempered. Martha worried a lot. The Samaritan woman had several failed marriages. Zacchaeus was unpopular. Thomas had doubts. Paul had poor health. And Timothy was timid. No matter the reason we think we can't be a spiritual leader, don't let your circumstances dictate it. If you have a heart for God and willing to serve, then you can be used more than you can even imagine in the kingdom of God. So what we're going to do now, yeah, we have about 10 minutes or so. We're going to break up in like groups of three into D groups and just kind of discuss the lesson. And so I have three questions, if you guys can write them down. And so in your groups, the first question is, in what ways do I view myself as a servant? In what ways do I not view myself as a servant? The second question is, what are some areas that I can serve the church or people? And the third way is, what do I think of when I hear the term servant? Yeah, so we can go ahead and break up into groups of three. and talk about it. When we are, share personally about yourself, and then help, you know, if try to stay away from giving our opinions if we respond, but really open in the Word of God and using the Bible and share scriptures when we're responding with people. So we can go ahead and break up into our groups.
Thank you.